relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
Who are these people Trump keeps telling us in the break that do not believe in America First? I want them flogged on the National Mall. But hey, we are joined now by a member of the winning coalition, and we're winning so much I even forgot about a Supreme Court case we're going to talk about. Corey DeAngelis is with the Association or the American Federation for Children, and he has been just a leader in the fight for school choice. And we got two wins. First, the Supreme Court decision I forgot, and then also the Arizona decision to have the entire state be run with the money following the children. Congratulations, because you were a part of both those, maybe not the Supreme Court case as much. But tell us the implications of the SCOTUS decision first.
Yeah, totally. This is the Carson v. Macon case coming out of Maine. It was a 6-3 decision in favor of parental rights in education. And the basic takeaway is if you're going to have a school choice program, you can't discriminate against religious families and religious schools by excluding them. That's what was happening in Maine. And it pretty much reaffirmed what we already found in the Espinoza v. Montana decision in 2020, which was a 5-4 decision in on the part of parents. And it also reaffirmed that school choice has no issue with the separation of church and state, which is not itself in the Constitution, for the same reasons that Pell Grants don't violate the Establishment Clause. With a Pell Grant for low-income kids, you can take the money, you can go to a public or private university, a religious or non-religious university, and you have a choice in the matter. Same thing with pre-K programs, same thing with Medicaid. You could take your Medicaid dollars to a private religious hospital if you want, and there's no separation of church and state issue because the primary beneficiary of that funding is the individual student and their families, and they can pick among religious and non-religious providers. So this deals a massive blow to these discriminatory Blaine amendments that exist in dozens of states across the nation, which were really rooted in anti-Catholic bigotry. And now this really helps propel the push for educational freedom anymore. No longer can you make the argument that school choice is somehow unconstitutional. We have tons of precedent now over several decades.
Winning. And it was not a separation of church and state. It was discrimination against individual families based on their choice of how to educate their kids. I mean, they acted as if they had, again, it's the Hillary, it takes a village concept. Or the Terry McAuliffe, who parents shouldn't have any say in their kids' education. They believe that the state owns the kids and they'll decide what it is, regardless of what the parents think. And I just think this is another brilliant example of that going out the window. They've shown their true colors. They want to indoctrinate our kids, and they're doing it. They are indoctrinating our kids. We're just starting to claw back a little bit of that at a time. Now let's talk about the other big win. State of Arizona, the money follows the kids. Lay it out for us, Corey.
Yeah, so the victory in Arizona is the biggest school choice victory in U.S. history. Every single family, regardless of income, regardless of background, will be able to take their kids' state-funded education dollars to the education provider of their choosing. That could be a public school, a private school, a charter school, or a home-based education option. With this victory, Arizona cements itself as the number one state for school choice. And when Governor Ducey of Arizona signs this bill into law, which he is expected to do soon, he'll essentially be walking up to Governor DeSantis of Florida and snatching out of his hands the school choice championship belt of the U.S. Look, Ducey's been a leader in school choice. We all know this. This is friendly competition, and more Republican state governors should follow the lead of Ducey and DeSantis and go all in on school choice. Now's the time to do it. Support for educational freedom is at an all-time high, and defenders of the status quo are on defense. We saw this with Terry McAuliffe. We saw this with the National School Boards Association, who tried to label parents as domestic terrorists for pushing back at school board meetings about curriculum. Well, since then, over the past half a year, 26 states have already left the National School Boards Association. We might as well call them the Regional School Boards Association. And look, this whole "it takes a village" approach, this idea that your kids and the money meant for educating them belong to the government, it's just absolutely unpopular. And if more Republicans were smart, they would lean into this pro-parent, pro-educational freedom stance, because it's a political winner, but more importantly, it's the right thing to do.
Well, there you go. He threw the gauntlet down. All right, Governor DeSantis, come on. You're the man. You've been leading on so many of these. Go ahead and jump past Ducey, Abbott, come on. Everybody in a Republican state who can do anything like this, do it. Because I don't care what else we do to push back against the woke commie indoctrination agenda, we either win education or we lose the country. Because they're training our kids to hate the country and to hate the ideas that made this country great and to hate the ideas that keep it afloat. So, and to hate each other. So unless we get control back and remind kids, no, that stuff you were hearing from the drag queens is probably not what you want to take to heart. Listen to your parents and listen to the smart people. All right, so is there anything else? I mean, it just seems like that should be enough and everyone could go out and we can do it. What's the biggest problem we're not dealing with as far as choice? Where should we
aim
next?
Well, the biggest thing is that in some deep red states, you have teachers unions playing in the Republican primaries and essentially putting fake Republicans into office to block school choice bills. So, for example, in Texas in 2017, they passed in their Senate a school choice bill, an education savings account, which is the gold standard of educational freedom and school choice. But the House didn't have the votes, even though the Texas House is overwhelmingly Republican. Whereas in Arizona, they have a one-seat majority in the House and in the Senate. It's the slimmest of margins, but every single Republican in that state got it done. They showed up, but they didn't just show up. They voted for the policy to support parental rights in education. But the good news is, going forward, this isn't 2017 anymore. The past 2 years have opened the eyes of so many parents, which have become this new special interest group in K-12 education, who are holding politicians accountable. And the American Federation for Children Action Fund and its affiliates, their candidates have won about 79% of the races this year. And we saw what happened in Iowa as well. Governor Reynolds tried to pass an education savings account bill, passed through the Senate, but then it got blocked in the House, despite having 60% of the members of the House having an R next to their name while coming out against parental rights. She endorsed 9 candidates, mostly with a dividing line of school choice. 8 of those 9 candidates won their primaries, and she helped unseat 4 or 5 incumbents who came out against her bill to fund students as opposed to systems. So get on the train and support parental rights, or parents are going to hold you accountable at the ballot box. But I see that this is a positive movement going forward. I'm optimistic. And look, this is a Republican Party platform issue. And we're seeing it play out in the primaries.
It's a winner for us. It's a winner for the kids. It's a winner for the country. Corey DeAngelis, American Federation for Children, keep up the good work. If you see these fake Republicans in your areas and you need some light shined on them, tell Seb. He's obviously much more powerful. And we'll shine a light on them so they scurry back under the floorboards where they belong. We're going to come back after this and open up the phone lines, 833-33-GORKA. I want to talk to the people, and we're going to find out what everybody's thinking. This is Jim Hansen. We're doing America First Radio, and we're winning.
Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you will get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code G-O-R-K-A. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code G-O-R-K-A.
Can't handle the truth? Is reality just too much? There's always NPR. I hear they have tote bags. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
You know, if America First had a tote bag, it would have ammo in it. I think that's what we need to do. Hey, look, we got a lot of bad things happening in the country right now, almost too many to count. But the one that's hitting all of us is the damage they've done to the economy. So we're going to have someone on to talk now about what the damage is and what we can expect. Former Congressman Dave Bratt, now economics professor. Dave, it's bad. It's ugly. I cry when I open my financial apps, and you're not going to tell me it's getting better, huh?
No, there's no good news out on that horizon. We're not only destroying inflation and the price system and the interest rate, which is the price of money. It's the main price that we use to make all our other calculations. But we've been in a 50-year decline on the major variables that affect the real economy. Too much attention's paid to the stock market, which is the financialization of all this stuff, right? And that's fine. You know, that affects your retirement and all that. But the real economy is what makes that possible. And if you just think through, you know, the main components that drive growth are capital investment, business investment, small business is getting clobbered. Human capital is one-third of growth. That's education. And just compare our high school graduates with the Chinese and Indian competitors, and we're getting clobbered. And then the main driver that causes economic growth, I did my PhD in economic growth. And, you know, if you add capital, you get diminishing returns. You remember in your horrified freshman macro class there. But there's only one variable that causes long-run economic growth, and that's called total factor productivity. That's the creativity and the ideas and the entrepreneurship that's made America great. And if you neglect that one, if you have it, it makes the whole curve go way higher, just off the charts, made us rich, richest country in the world. Now total factor productivity is at zero. So the real economy's shot. We got inflation. We got unemployment. We got stagnation. There's more on that coming. Consumption and the consumer are devastated. The University of Michigan index is way down. The next shoe to drop that will bring immediate recession and loss of confidence on the business side are the earnings reports coming up any day, right, over the next week in July. Second quarter GDP growth is going to come out. First quarter was negative 1.6, and they're talking about, you know, zero, or trying to fudge a, you know, 0.1. The government might fake that one. So it looks good, but it'll be negative after they correct it, you know, four times. And it'll probably be worse than the first quarter. And so, yeah, I got no good news to report other than I trust the American people. And any time, they better wake up and start changing things.
Well, I think the one thing you said, though, that may have a long-term solution is when you talk about that total productivity, we've taught people to be dependent. You know, America used to be the individual, the entrepreneur. You were you made your own world. You made your world a better place. You didn't rely on the government. You didn't rely on somebody else to take care of you. And we've killed that, you know?
Yeah.
Now,
that's right. It's culture, right? I mean, politics is downstream from culture. Culture, in my view, is downstream from God, the first principle, the church. And we're getting weak, right? The old Protestant ethic. If you want to run some fun regressions, you know, look at where economic growth started. Look at where the rule of law started, Western Europe, bunch of Christian countries. If you let that one go, right, the ethos, the leadership, the respect your elders, the work hard, why should I do any of that? You just ought to. That doesn't quite cut it. The modern ethics is pretty thin and pretty weak. And parents, time to get back to the basics. And everyone's worried about the secular left. I got to, if the press ever bugs you on ethics or philosophy or religion, ask them one simple question, which interested Leibniz way back a few hundred years ago. And then even the atheist recognizes the most important question. Why is there something instead of nothing? And watch them squirm and dance, and they'll say, oh, that's not a sophisticated question. No, it's just the central question in modern philosophy for the last 2,400 years. Why is there something instead of nothing?
I watched Stephen Hawking one time.
And then you get the economic, right? No, exactly. You got it.
He failed. He got asked that question. He said, what caused the Big Bang?
Right.
And he said, first there was nothing, then there was something. Which is essentially a math equation that says 0 plus 0 equals 1.
Right.
And I'm thinking, no, you can't do that. Well, now, all right, the reason I'm going to go ahead and I'll play the optimist, because you've ruined everybody's day. And I appreciate that, because if the people don't feel the pain, they won't ever get it fixed. But we had Corey DeAngelis on. We're taking school choice back. You know, we're winning on school choice. We're changing it so that the money can follow the kids. We can re-indoctrinate them into the things that made this country great. We can remind them that those are all gifts from God, and that all of these things spring from that. And I think if enough of them get it, we either pull everybody along with us, or that things get bad enough in the Democrat-run areas that everybody moves to Florida and Texas and places like that, and those become economic, prosperity zones.
I'm hopeful with you on that one. But, boy, I was working on that 20 years ago in the Virginia Senate. And it's amazing, the ideologues. You need the House and the Senate and a bulletproof Senate and the governor to go along with it. And so, hopefully we got some big waves like in Virginia this time. But it's amazing how many of the weaker Republicans, even when the school union people start marching, and you can hear the footsteps coming and the emails come in and the screaming at you, and everybody gets weak on our side. It's usually on our side that we get the weakness, and so maybe things are changing. The moms now are on fire, right, with this grooming stuff, and they ought to be. And then the Hispanics and our African American brothers and sisters, I think everyone, the Catholics, the Protestants, all the different groups are going back and looking upstairs, because things are so dire. That's where you look when you need some hope. And if we return, God can turn things around remarkably, has done so in history.
Yeah, and that's what it takes. My wife was famous all through the Trump times of saying things haven't gotten bad. We're doing some wins here and there, but they hadn't gotten bad enough. I'm going to thank Biden, for going ahead and driving the bus off the cliff. And then when we hit the bottom, we can go ahead and try to move it back up. And maybe that's the best we can hope for. I hope not, but... thanks so much. I want to thank you as well, because a dose of reality, it's very easy for everyone to go ahead and think, things have been great for so long and we're America and it's always going to turn out great. And that's just not the case unless we pull our weight. And you're one of the guys who's been doing that, and now you're teaching the next one. So thanks, Dave Bratt, former congressman, now dean of the business school at Liberty University. Keep churning out quality individuals. We appreciate it.
Bring your students. I'm on the third floor of the business school. I have an open door policy. Come on up, say hi. Tell them this summer to read Closing of the American Mind by Alan Bloom, a classic on education, after they're done reading the Bible. Tell them to read that one.
Done.
And come on up and visit me.
All right. Thanks, Dave. This is Jim Hansen. We are going to rebound from that dose of reality, take it to heart, and make it into a better thing with more America First after the break.
He's Jim Hansen, former Green Beret, the man who knows how to win civil wars without firing a shot. Or if you have to, that as well.
Hey folks, I am Jim Hansen, and I did write a book called Winning the Second Civil War Without Firing a Shot. And I've talked with Seb about it at length, and if you haven't read it or bought it, it is a pretty good book. I think it's not the worst thing I've ever done. It has a lot of information about where we were, how we got here, and how we can get out of this mess. So keep that in mind as you're looking for paths to the power of a republic returned. Well, hey, I want to talk now. I'm not seeing smiles from Jeff yet. He's still messing with the phones. But I want to tell you one of the things that I think has been refreshing for me recently has been the return of Latinos to the Republican side. And I say return because there've always been a strong segment of the Latino population who believe in God and responsibility and hard work and all of the things that we on the right have always believed in. And they've been there. They haven't always been the loudest. They haven't always been, you know, a vocal segment of the community that we could rely on, you know, when it came to that. But one thing that has been happening over the past couple of years is in the elections we've seen, guess what numbers are going up? Latino voters, not Latinx voters or however you say that. Not any of the silly things that the left wants to do and to use them, you know, as an identity politics group that they can play with. Those people share our values. They're part of our country and they're voting with us now. So we have a member of a new organization that I am very thrilled to introduce to you if you haven't heard of them, called Americano Media, that is speaking from a conservative viewpoint to the Latino community. And joining us now is Lucia Navarro, an award-winning journalist from Americano. And Lucia, I'm glad we finally got you on. It was my fault, but good to hear from you.
Oh, it is a pleasure. Thank you, Jim, for the invitation. We're very happy to be with you and very happy to share the news of who Americano is and what is our purpose with all the Latino community and the whole community in the United States.
Well, and that's just it. You guys are speaking in Spanish, which we have historically been bad at. You know, I mean, most Americans know exactly none languages. We're marginally competent in English. But now we've got people in their own language hearing the views that mirror their beliefs, mirror their beliefs in God and country and entrepreneurship mm-hmm. and all that. So tell us how it's going at Americano Media. I know it's going well. I want to hear how well.
Well, it is very well, let me tell you, because as you just said, we explain Latinos the real views of the politics in the U.S. We do not believe that all Latinos are Democrats because they think that they are the party that are going to really fight for them. We do not believe that. And we're sure that many Latinos are just blind. I mean, they don't understand that the values that we share as Latinos, those that we were raised with, are Republican values. I mean, family, God, law, order. Those are our values. And this is what Americano wants to do, just tell Latinos what things are really in the Republican side. I mean, there's a lot of things that we're doing. We are doing right now broadcasting Channel 153. Very soon we're going to have video. And we're going to speak the news in Espanol, in their language. So we will tell them exactly what a politician is trying to say, all the offers that they're putting on the table. And we're going to let them decide what is best for them. We are not reporting the news from a government press release. We are not, as a lot of the media, the majority of the media in this country. We like, you know, digging for the news. We like asking questions because we know our people, Latinos, want answers. And this is what we're looking for, answers for them.
Well, and you said that you guys are broadcasting SiriusXM. It's channel 153, you said, right?
Correct.
And I know you guys are building a super cool studio because I have friends down there who are part of your organization. Yeah. And you guys are putting together essentially a TV competitor that's going to take on Univision, right?
That is correct. So we have all the elements to give a very, very good fight to any other media that is out there. We have a beautiful studio coming up, and that's going to be ready in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned, because we're going to share the news with you guys. And people is not going to miss anything from the other networks, because we have everything state of the art. You know, the cream of the crop.
Well, and you got a lot of quality journalists like yourself and others who have come from, you know, the other Hispanic and Latino networks, but who now mm-hmm. see the fact that you guys have built the one thing that was missing, a non-leftist filtered channel. And I think that's phenomenal. So I appreciate what you're doing, and we will do everything we can. You know, I know we've had Ivan on the show before, Ivan Garcia Hidalgo, who is a stud. He was a Trump fighter. We love most of the people involved with your organization. So make sure that when you guys have the launch, we can be part of that. And God bless you guys for bringing the message and taking it to the streets, Lucia. It's fantastic, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation. And yes, we will let you know about everything that we're doing, all the progress we're doing, because we need the Anglo community in this country to understand what we are trying to do, and the Latino community to understand what we are doing for them. This is an effort that at the end of the line is going to improve people's lives. It's going to give them a better quality lifestyle. And it's gonna be great. That's something that I can tell you for now. And in a couple of weeks, we will share more news about our video part. Thank you for the invitation, Tim.
Oh, thanks for being here, Lucia. You fill me with hope, so I appreciate it. That's why we're winning, folks, because our message resonates with everybody. We're not racist, knuckle-dragging troglodytes. We're Americans who love liberty-loving Americans. This is Jim Hansen. We'll be back after the break.
Sebastian Gorka, this is America First, and I'm delighted to welcome our special guest host, Jim Hansen.
I am welcomed as the special guest host, Jim Hansen, and I am joined by John Schweppe from the American Principles Project, someone who is fighting the good fight, who comes in his suit with his tennis shoes. Did you wear those tennis shoes on the Hill?
I did.
Yes. That's the kind of guy we need fighting for our rights on the internet, is a guy who will wear a suit and tennis shoes, because it's D.C. in the summer, right?
It's hot.
Your feet could melt otherwise. All right. I want to talk with you about what we can do to break the monopoly of the tech tyrants on America's information space. And there's been, you know, too much weaselly crying about, oh, we can't do anything, and we don't want to break monopolies, and oh, Section 230 won't really change anything if we repeal it. I'm done with that. I want to start, what if you could do one thing today? You could walk up and wave your magic John Schweppe wand to break that logjam. What would you do?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I will tell you, I think the concentrated power is the real problem here, right? Okay. The fact that these companies are so dominant, the fact that, you know, we look at Parler. Parler was a competitor. It was mm-hmm. succeeding. And the fact that Amazon and Apple and Google were all able to collude to shut it down, I think that's the problem here. And if we had 10 Googles and 10 Facebooks, I don't think the censorship regime would be as much of a problem. It's tough because I, you know, Section 230, I know it's something everyone goes to, but in an ideal world, I do think a Section 230 that basically said, you know, look, we're not going to give you guys any sort of special benefit unless you respect free speech online. I think that would be really powerful and effective. But just to be honest with your listeners, I mean, we need 60 votes in the Senate to get there. And Democrats obviously hate free speech, so that's going to be pretty challenging.
Oh, they despise free speech, and that's part of the problem. So, all right, so let's go with the assumption that now we're going to go back to trying to work within the rules, you know, within the lanes that we have. I want to think about ways to make their influence on the elections is I think, an area where we can use the FEC, the FTC, and the FCC in conjunction, if we ever get, you know, executive control again. Is there a way to say, during elections, which is continual now, you have to have some sort of fairness doctrine. You can't simply do what they did with Hunter's laptop, as I was talking about, and crush the story because it might hurt your guy. Is that a way we may be able to weasel free speech in, because all ideas like that are related to elections?
So we do have campaign finance rules in this country, and our organization actually filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission after the election last in 2020, you know, making the argument, look, when Facebook takes down our Super PAC's ads, but they leave them up for Democrats, or they leave them up for the Democratic candidate, that's an in-kind contribution.
Absolutely.
That should be prosecutable. And so I think really we need to look at that. The FEC is not interested in that interpretation of the law right now. So I think we might need an act of Congress. But certainly that makes sense. We don't want corporations, you know, putting their thumb on the dial and really determining which candidate is going to win or which is going to lose illegitimately. I mean, if they're going to fund it through PACs or whatever, that's one thing. That's speech. But when they're going to suppress others, when they're going to try to cheat the rules, which is what we saw in a major way in 2020, that's no good.
And they've got control. You know, that's right now, you cannot get an idea that they disagree with into play if they decide not to. Now, you said a word I liked. And Seb and I have talked about this a bunch. I'm sick of hearings. I'm sick of any of it. We're all sick of it. I want prosecutions. I want indictments. You said prosecutable. Is an illegal in-kind contribution prosecutable? And is that against a corporation? How do we do that?
Yeah, so the FEC has the power to levy huge fines, and they can go after these corporations. So, you know, that's something, if you're a Republican candidate, especially in the past, you got to be really careful with your FEC filings. You can't screw this up. Or if you're a business owner, you want to make sure that you're doing everything legitimate, because they can come after you. And so, you know, this is just another organ of the administrative state that's been used historically against Republicans more than Democrats. But I think we need to use it. I think we need to recognize we do have this campaign finance law. All the corporations seem to be against us on this. So let's go after them if they're going to interfere.
And they seem to want to. They say, and they've been getting away with it. That's part of it. You know, they have had nobody pushing back, and that's part of it on us. I mean, we had a Trump administration that owned all the executive agencies and had Congress for long enough to do something. So is that the next time we get there? And let's start. You know, people say we can't do anything until we get the executive. Well, they got the money, all right, that those executive agencies spent. So let's put into the budget congressional staffers like the ones John Schweppe was talking to today. Let's put in provisions that say you can't spend money, or you have to spend money looking into these violations, and you can't spend it on this, before we get the executive to prep the battlefield. That's how we start, right?
We absolutely could do that. Congress has the power of the purse. They could do that easily. You know, I mean, it's always challenging, but like, I think that's something we needed to do. Something else you touched on is, you know, the Trump administration. I always liken President Trump to, you know, he outperformed. Nobody expected him to do as much as he possibly could. He's kind of like a sports team. I'll take the NBA. I know nobody watches the NBA anymore. But, you know, if you have a team that outperforms and makes the playoffs, but it's their first time there, they don't tend to win very many series. They don't win the championship very often. But the next year or the year after that, they get back there. Then they have that experience, that playoff experience, where they can go win the championship. And that's what we need for 2024, right? So whether it's Trump, whether it's DeSantis or someone, you know, we've seen what happened. The administrative state fought against Trump's appointees and did everything they could to obstruct him. These people are ready. And some of the people I talked to today, we were talking exactly about that. There are people in waiting right now who are in Trump's administration who are plotting, okay, how can we go in there day one and really mess these guys up? And it's pretty exciting stuff.
That makes me feel good, because I can tell you when the transition was going on for the Trump administration, I helped. We had a list. And I don't care if people want to play McCarthyist games. Of course we had a list. We had a list of people who were deep state plants who were bad. And this was specifically in national security and foreign policy, and who should be removed on day one. And then we had a list of people who were good to replace him. And the problem was we didn't have that exercise. We had not had those levers of power before. And our team failed miserably in removing the bad people and putting in good ones. And even if you don't have someone to replace them, an empty chair is better than an enemy.
Right.
You know, there's way too many people in government already. So it's good to hear that you've got people who are doing that. Is there anything in you're looking at in the next immediate term, you know, legislation or anything?
Yeah. I think, you know, first and foremost, we have to recognize Biden is the president. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to pass anything. But I do think it's important for us to play the game and go through the motions and pass legislation. A lot of times McConnell especially doesn't even like to take votes on bills when it's politically good for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think right away we should have a Section 230 bill that we all can agree on that we think is good, pass it through the House when we take back the House, and then try to push for a vote in the Senate. Even if the Democrats vote it down, that's a win, because then we can go into the 2024 cycle and say, vote for Trump, vote for DeSantis if you care about free speech, right?
Put them on the record.
Right, exactly, exactly. So I think that's step number one. The other thing, you know, there's been a lot of hubbub about all these antitrust bills, and my group has supported them. I know some groups on the right don't support them because they've been led by some Democrats, and I understand that. But we have seen Republicans like Mike Lee, like Marsha Blackburn and others come out with their own versions of okay. antitrust bills. And I think that's where we got to get as Republicans now is, okay, we agree we want to break them up. We're just maybe not sure like what the enforcement like mechanism should be.
Right. Well, we got to take a break and do the commercials thing. But let's talk about the next one. And I want to talk about my boy Elon, because he's buying Twitter and I don't want to hear anything about it. This is Jim Hansen. We're doing America First Radio. We'll be back with John Schweppe after the break.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
I think they're done saying that. Hey, it's Jim Hansen. We are back doing the America First thing here, joined in studio with John Schweppe from American Principles Project, who is a tireless fighter for freedom on the internet. And as am I. And I want to talk about the only good news in as long as I can remember for a potential win for our team on that was the wild man of SpaceX and Tesla, Elon Musk, buying Twitter. Now, the offer's in, SEC approved, the board approved, and then we hear this stuff about, but there's too many bots. Well, of course there are. Of course Twitter was lying about that, and he knew that going in. I think he's gouging him for price. We talked in the break. You think he's going to go through with this?
I do. I do. I think, you know, he's the richest man in the world. Money's no object. I think he recognizes what's happened with the left and how crazy they're getting and how mm-hmm. this is dangerous. Frankly, it's dangerous for his business. Mm-hmm. You know, the White House was inviting every electric car company except for Tesla.
Right.
Which is insane. Like, Tesla's the only one that works.
Right.
You know, so I think he recognizes the threat that poses. But, you know, this is humanitarian, I suppose, and I think he's going to be successful. But you are right. I mean, the bots on Twitter are insane. The valuation was insane, and I think he's a brilliant strategist, and so I think he knows exactly what he was going to do. And the Twitter board right now, they just took, you know, they got soaked by this stock market crash. So
yeah, they got to make something happen,
yeah, they're
or they're toast.
They're
and I think people should pay attention. He hasn't tweeted in almost a week or so. So I think, you know, Elon's not scared of the SEC because it's not like they can fine him in any way that matters to him. But I think he went silent because they're doing the final negotiations and sink the deal. Sink the deal, Elon. And I, just in case you needed to push it over the edge, I'm getting solar on my house and we're getting a Tesla battery. Literally, I had to choose between two. And they're like, the other one's like 1% better. I'm like, no way.
Just keep the Clintons away from him. That, right now, we got to keep him safe.
Right.
Security 24/7. I mean, this is too important.
Okay, but let's what else though? We've got Twitter. Let's say we win Twitter and we've got one place to talk. Google and Facebook are much more, you know, egregiously in control of large swaths. Twitter's influential because it influences influencers. Mm-hmm. Google and Facebook influence the rest of the country, normals. Mm-hmm. What do we do to free up their ability to get information that is not run through that leftist filter?
So I will say, I think if Twitter does become a free speech platform, it will have a downstream effect on Facebook and Google because, you know, their users will notice. They'll notice that, oh, all of a sudden I'm seeing this news is happening on Twitter and you guys are preventing me from seeing it. So I do think you'll see that. But you're right. I mean, Facebook and Instagram, I mean, these are huge networks. Obviously, that's very important. Google is even more complicated because it's search. And so that's information being distilled to you, and they do all sorts of things to hide. So this is where I think you do need some legislation. You do need Congress to act. But one thing, and, you know, I talked with you about this in one of the breaks, you know, I think Republicans have to show a willingness to act. It's actually more important than acting, I think. And we saw that with Governor DeSantis in Florida with Disney. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, all these corporations were a little bit less willing to be woke. You're starting to see that, right? And so I think that's what you got to do and show them that, look, Google, Amazon, we're kind of looking at your business model. We think maybe you've been engaging in some anti-competitive stuff that's illegal. Maybe you should be nicer to us, like nicer on the speech side. Ryan Anderson's book about gender, it's pretty good. Like Amazon, maybe leave it in your bookstore, right? And so so I think that's kind of what you got to do. And this is what the Democrats are so good at. The reason why the censorship is happening so prevalently in Silicon Valley, I believe, is in part because Democrats have shown a willingness to crack down on those companies. And so we got to do the same thing.
And they've gotten away with it. That's the sad thing. So you just act, do something, even if it doesn't work, because then people see it, you know, then you start a momentum and you put the other side on defense.
Right. I mean, you look at the antitrust thing right now. Now, I'm hoping that a couple of these bills get passed, mm-hmm. but we're in July tomorrow. We're running out of time. The Democrats have been running out the clock on this. The whole thing has been an op to force these companies to think that there's actually going to be something bad that happens to them, and it forces them to censor. And I really think that's been a big part of this.
Well, I think I couldn't agree more that action of any kind is necessary. And it's not futile, and it's not just spinning wheels, and it's not just, you know, a show, because every time you do it, you force the other side to react. And if you're not acting, they are. Like you said, they've been very successful with this all the way through. John Schweppe, American Principles Project. You guys are doing the yeoman's work. I thank you. I thank you for wearing... Are those Chuck Taylors?
Yeah.
Thank you for wearing Chuck Taylors with your suit to talk to our Congress. That's what I want, man. So appreciate it. This is Jim Hansen. We got a couple more segments left to wrap up another day of winning, which we will never get sick of. We're doing America First Radio, and we will be back after the break.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.